When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Touchdown! I don't believe it!
You're listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Welcome back to the radio program. We talk sports here, 6 to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday. We are excited to bring out our next guest. Here on North Olmsted, Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, we welcome in Mary Kay Cabot, plaindealercleveland.com. We're excited to have you on, Mary Kay. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to be here.
Mary Kay, we put up a poll up, and it is very decisive, on which team, as a Browns fan, would you not want to win the Super Bowl more? Pittsburgh or Tampa Bay? Now, I do think there's a little flaw in the methodology here. I think a lot of Baker bros are getting in. So, of course, they are absolutely going to say the Steelers because they want Baker Mayfield to win the Super Bowl. But what do you think would be harder for the Browns to stomach in this case? Their division rival or the player that they had on their football team, number one overall quarterback, win a Super Bowl somewhere else?
I think it would be Baker. I actually think it would be Baker because that's one of those situations where, again, you had him in the fold and it didn't work out, and then he goes on to be wildly successful. So I think that would be harder to take.
Let's call Mary Kay back and get a better connection because there's something that's missing.
Oh, you didn't like her answer, so no, must be the connection.
You know the connection wasn't good.
Ring it up!
You knew the connection wasn't good.
That's a Ken Carmen classic.
People are nuts. You people are nuts.
Well, I did see some people allude to...
It'd be a lesson.
Some people alluded to, we've seen Pittsburgh win all the Super Bowls. They've been better than us for 30 years. This doesn't change anything. Baker Mayfield, you know he's going to get his digs in Cleveland if he wins that Super Bowl.
He would get his digs in at the franchise. He wouldn't get his digs in at the fan base. There's a difference there.
Yeah.
Nobody is paying attention to that. He would get his digs in at them, not you. He never got into it with Browns fans, did he?
Yeah, but it's everyone else that would take his comments and dig them into
you. Okay, well, fine. I mean, what the hell? That's been going on with me my entire life. How many guys have we left out of here that have ended up and gone and done other things? I think it'd be way worse for the Steelers. Mary Kay, hello.
Hi, can you hear me better now?
We have you better. We apologize for all the mess-ups. Who knows about the phone situation? So anyway, yeah, Mary Kay, go ahead. You were saying we got the entire answer of it. I don't. It wouldn't bother me. We've talked about Baker. We'll continue to talk about Baker. It's Baker, for crying out loud. But the other stuff, it's like, man, I can't. The Steelers don't have a great quarterback. The Steelers have a pretty good football team, and they're well-coached and all that other crap. But I just can't take them winning another Super Bowl before us. No.
Well, how is the poll going? Because just with people that I talk to, it seems to me that the Baker thing might hit home just a little more for Browns fans thinking, you know, why not us? Why is something like this happening again to Browns fans?
Oh, I am in the minority, I imagine. Did you see the results of the poll yet, Tone? Or
yeah.
No? What but are the results of the poll?
I think it's being manipulated by the Baker fans. Because Baker fans are rooting for them to win the Super Bowl,
wow.
Obviously.
Okay, they actually agree with me, 69%. That's very nice.
But I'm seeing a lot of the responses are, I'm a Baker fan. Why wouldn't I root for them?
Oh,
well,
there you go.
You might have to just walk around Cleveland and take the poll. So why don't you guys get out and do that today?
See, I'm going that's outside today and doing that, Mary Kay.
That is a God's honest reporter right there.
That's for. They can call up 216-474-0092. I ain't going walking around here. Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Did you see the article yet? And I'm putting you in a bad spot, but I have to. The Athletic released an article said Woody Johnson didn't want to trade for Jerry Jeudy because of his Madden rating. It's from The Athletic. Your thoughts about an owner not wanting to trade for Jerry Jeudy because of a Madden rating?
I have not seen the article, and that's kind of crazy to me. But let me say this, because this is something that's been on my mind lately.
Oh, please.
With talent evaluation and especially quarterback evaluation. I've come to the conclusion that even the smartest people in the room, the people that have spent their whole entire lives scouting, get it wrong so often. And when you look at all the quarterbacks, let's talk about the quarterbacks for a second. When you look at all the quarterbacks this year that are having a revival in their careers, I mean, my goodness, Baker, we just talked about him, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Geno's been at it for a few years. The list goes on and on. And so I'm not listening to anybody anymore about quarterbacks or players. I'm going to watch my own darn film, and I'm going to decide who I think can play the game of football from now on. I mean, even back when you look at the 2018 draft, well, now Baker and Sam are doing well, but everybody thought Josh Allen was going to be horrible in that draft. And, of course, I didn't think Josh Allen was going to be horrible in that draft because I attacked it from a bunch of different angles, including talking to college coaches, talking to his quarterback's coach, watching film, talking to him at various places, including the Senior Bowl. And I came to the – and watching him at the Senior Bowl, came to the conclusion that I thought he was going to be the best quarterback coming out of that draft. And you know what? I would have been just as right, more right than John Dorsey that year. Now, fortunately for everybody – you know, involved with Baker, he's playing well now and he's come up off the mat. But it's such a crapshoot out there. And this year, I think more so than any other year, tells us that the smartest people that have spent their whole entire careers doing this get it wrong way too often.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the show. So you're not going to listen to the fans when they talk about not wanting Deshaun Watson to play next year for their favorite football team, because we saw that bombshell that you dropped over the weekend, and the fans were not thrilled about it, Mary Kay.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. People don't read these articles half the time anymore to understand what you're actually saying, okay? So what do you guys think I wrote?
Well, I didn't think it was your personal opinion. I thought it was a report that said they're going to give him the opportunity to compete.
Right.
If I messed it up, I'm sorry. I read the whole thing. No. I might have misinterpreted it.
No. The opportunity to compete. What is so crazy about the fact that if you're going to bring your $230 million quarterback back into the building and back into practice, that you're not going to give him an opportunity to compete? What are you going to say to him? Hey, if you're not busy, maybe you can do some of the laundry. I mean, like, what do people think?
I mean,
if you're going to send him home, that's one thing. But if he's going to be around, you really think that you're not going to give him an opportunity to compete? The $46 million a year guy? I mean, what does anybody expect that he should do? I don't understand why that caused a ruckus. I mean, several weeks ago, Albert Breer, I think he took the story backwards a little bit and said and reported, oh, hey, the Browns are going to bring in some competition for Deshaun Watson. Well, I mean, that's the least of what we all thought was ever going to happen, right? I mean, no. That takes the story backwards. The story is, are they going to even give him a chance to compete with the guy they're bringing in or the guys that they're bringing in? That's the whole key. So I don't know why that story should have caused any kind of, but it's Deshaun Watson, and that's a lightning rod for criticism.
Mary Kay Cabot bringing the ruckus right here on 92.3 The Fan. All right, Mary Kay, with all of that said, do you think it's kind of bizarre that unlike Dak Prescott, who has been at all the Cowboys games, even when he was on crutches rehabbing, supporting his team the way he is, that we haven't seen any of that from Deshaun Watson? Nothing on social media after they had that awesome win, you know, earlier over the Pittsburgh Steelers. You just haven't heard from him. He has the ability to put out videos whenever he wants. He had his podcast. Could have a possible, you know, entire social media wing that could help him out. He hasn't really done anything to endear himself to his fans, his teammates. Does that surprise you?
Well, first of all, right or wrong, it's a no-win situation with him. If he showed up, he would be a distraction. That's what fans would say. Because what we do know is that many, many, many fans do not like Deshaun Watson. So even if he did show up, I don't know that this would be a warm and fuzzy feeling among the fan base. But as of right now, he is not permitted on the sidelines of the game. I can tell you that with certainty. He is not allowed on the sidelines. Now, he probably could come and sit up in a suite, but who knows? Maybe the Browns, and I have no idea if this is the case at all. Maybe they have said, you know, you don't need to come, you don't need to be here, don't worry about it. I don't know. I mean, we haven't asked them that yet, not to my knowledge, but I do know that he has not been able to be on the sidelines of a game yet, and I don't know if he'll be able to be there or not on December 29th, but so far he hasn't been able to be there. And I do want to talk about Kirk Cousins at some point here, too.
Oh, yeah, well, hell, go right on ahead, Mary Kay. Floor is yours, please.
I'm fired up this morning.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
So what about Kirk? First of all, once again, I have to go watch a bunch of Kirk Cousins film before I could say if I want Kirk Cousins to be here or not next year. But I think these are the kinds of quarterbacks that you have to start looking at that will probably land on the Browns list. Once again, I don't know what he's got left in the tank coming off of his ruptured Achilles. I also think if he couldn't move well, that could inform what might happen to Deshaun. Now, Deshaun is younger, but Kirk is someone that I think you kind of have to look at for the connection with Kevin Stefanski and just kind of see what's going on with him. And look into, he's got a no-trade clause, but you'd have to look into seeing whether or not he would come here and all of those kinds of things. But these are the kinds of names that you have to start considering and throwing onto the Browns' next QB1 list.
I don't want Kirk Cousins.
Well, once again, you know, like I said, I can't say yay or nay until I go get my eyes on the film and do my due diligence. And that would include talking to people that have covered him, maybe coaches that have worked with him lately, maybe a quarterback's coach that could tell me something. Because last year you might not have wanted Russell Wilson either, but the Pittsburgh Steelers are finding some value in a Russell Wilson. And I think that's the thing that we have to guard against. Plenty of times people might have said, I don't want Jared Goff. Well, look at where Jared Goff is right now. And so I think that there's just been a paradigm shift in the quarterback world where if you can get a certain quarterback with a certain play caller, maybe like a Kevin O'Connell and a Sam Darnold, when you can get the right play caller, the right quarterback, the right pieces around him, a good defense, protect him, and you might be able to get something out of that guy that other people couldn't.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the show. Well, it Because the quarterback situation, I mean, it's always something we talk about. So would the, you mentioned the play caller. Would Ken Dorsey still be the play caller then? Or are they planning on moving on from him? Is his future up in the air, or what is it?
You know, that's a great question. I do not know the answer to that question. They are keeping everything very, very close to the vest. I know they've been very happy with a lot of what they've seen from Ken Dorsey. I mean, he was pulling 300-yard games out of Jameis Winston. By the same token, I think that you can look and see that there are some play calls there that have been a little bit questionable too, because if you keep throwing the ball to Elijah Moore and it keeps getting picked off, well, you might need to alter that strategy a little bit. It hasn't been easy lately because Sed Tillman and Dave Njoku, your two tall ball guys, haven't been able to be out there. But you can't keep going to the same well if the same thing keeps happening. So we'll have to see about some of those kinds of things. But I do think that, and you need a genius play caller. Is Kevin a genius play caller? If he is, then put him back in the saddle. If he's not, then find yourself one. But I think you need to find that guy and that quarterback that can work together and understand each other and get the most out of the situation.
As of right now, how percent sure are you that both Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are back in 2025?
You know, I'm going to say 100% because I'm just going to go by what I've been hearing. I'm going to go by what Jimmy said to Jeremy Fowler at the meetings. And right now, that's basically what I've been hearing is going to happen. Now, sometimes the end of a season takes on a life of its own, and things change, and people change, and circumstances change. And so you can never say never about anything. But in this moment in time, I will say 100%.
Mary Kay, thank you. We love you. We'll talk to you again soon. All the best.
Sure. Thanks, guys.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I'm going to pussyfoot around this for a second. No, you know what? I'm going to go right into it. You guys aren't going to like it. You're going to want to shoot the messenger. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You don't want to hear it, and you haven't wanted to hear it over the last couple of years. And guys, this is not to say that the situation is better. The situation now is not better. The situation now is far worse. If you are just wanting to be a fan of the former quarterback, you've won. Unless his arms fall off this Sunday, I think you win. You win. But the revisionist history that's gone on here over the last year and a half, 2 years, has been ridiculous to the point where Lyman and I have rolled our eyes, because anything we say, it's not that they don't listen. You listen, you don't want to believe it. You don't want to believe anything we say. When we tell you that, well, the owner really liked the quarterback. No, has to be the owner. It has to be him. Well, the buck always stops with the owner, so you can always blame the owner. So yes, if he decides that he doesn't want it to happen, he could have decided he didn't want it to happen. But when we say that, hey, you know, Lyman knows as many people as I do, and there was the snooping around before that end of that season in 2021, nobody wants to hear that. They don't want to hear that. And when we say that there's some shared responsibility in there, even though the former quarterback himself has admitted that to a certain level in interviews past this year, nobody wants to listen to it. Albert Breer was on Afternoon Drive yesterday, and he was asked if Stefanski had any say in moving on from Baker.
Yeah, I think he did. Here's where I think their dilemma was. I think they liked Baker. I don't know if they liked Baker at $55 million or $50 million or $45 million or whatever it would have cost. time. And so, you know, I think you can sort of look at it if you're the Browns and you say, okay, we like our quarterback, but if we pay him that much, we're asking him to make up for X number of players that we won't have on our team anymore. Okay, so if you decide, like, he's good, and he may be $25 million good, but he's not $50 million good, well, then what's the solution? It's either you go back into the draft, or you find somebody that you think is worth that price point. That, I think, is what Deshaun Watson was to them. And I think that's what Deshaun Watson was to Houston. You know, I think what the Browns saw was an opportunity to go and get a guy who was going to get them behind the velvet rope and into that club. And a guy who was going to be worth the price point of a premium quarterback when they didn't think Baker was quite there. I think that line of thinking is something that pretty much everybody in the organization was in on. Everybody with any sort of decision-making sway anyway.
I mean, we've been trying to tell you for 2 years. Tone, I mean, how many more people have to say the truth before anybody actually listens?
Well, what do you think people are disputing right now?
Well, I think that a lot of people just want to say, well, again, the owner's the owner, so you can put everything on an owner of every franchise, because, again, the buck stops there, and he could have said, you know what, I love the guy that much, you're not moving on from him at all. But, again, we so often don't want to realize that the conversation wasn't Baker Mayfield at $100 million for 3 years like he's getting with Tampa Bay. The conversation was 6 years at $260 million. That's what the conversation was, or even more than that. That's what it was. And I don't think anybody wants to recognize that. And at that time, there were things that we were hearing, things that turned his teammates against him, selfish things that were not becoming of a leader at that time. Guys, this is not an indictment of Baker Mayfield now in 2024. He seems to be a much different guy than he was in 2021. Things like going through the league and having to be cut by Carolina, picked up by the Rams, regenerated by the Rams, picked up as really what they thought he was just going to be, a bridge quarterback to their next year's quarterback, kind of like what we're talking about with Kirk Cousins and all these other guys. That will change a man, and it's changed a man. God bless him, and I mean that sincerely. But the revisionist history of all of this is something that I already can see myself fighting years to come.
The problem, and we lived it, and we did shows on it every day, and yes, we did have intel, and we also have to remind people, again, you mentioned it briefly.
Parties after losses.
All the other things
that were just not leadership.
He was very immature, and the question is, could that have gotten turned around here? Could he have evolved here? And people also forget, he went to Carolina and was the worst starting quarterback in football. So this wasn't just a Browns issue, because Carolina was like, hey, let's take a free swing on this. And they're like, we are getting out of the Baker Mayfield business fast. That's two teams that got rid of him. He then latches on for that brief little run. What was it? A few games with McVay. Mm-hmm. And obviously that wasn't going to work out because they had a quarterback.
Well, he was with good coaching, and he was able to be helped there, yes.
And he was also getting healthy again and getting his mind right again.
He was healthy.
And he's spoken to that. We will always have the what if. What if he just would have signed that contract here?
What if Anthony Schwartz wouldn't have had alligator arms on that pass against the Houston Texans?
Well, there's a lot of what ifs. But unfortunately, here's just how it's going to work. You're talking about revisionist history. The more and more he wins in Tampa, and my God, if he goes to an NFC Championship game or goes to the Super Bowl, it's just going to be another in the long line of Cleveland let him get away.
Yeah.
That is just going to be the next rung on that. That's going to be on the tombstone for Browns football until we ever get good.
Yep. And guys,
and there's nothing. Me and you cannot come on and go to the Nick Wrights or Bill Simmons of the world. We can't sit there and say,
it.
Oh, actually, guys, they don't care. They don't care. It's just going to be another Browns war.
Because it to the victor goes the spoils. The winners get to write the history. And if he goes on and he accomplishes something great, he gets to write the history. The supporters get to write the history. And I just have to take it. But in the meantime, I'm always going to tell the truth of what I saw and what you and I know. And that's the truth of the matter. Now, why the people that pushed for this to happen are not going to have to rectify with that at this juncture right now, I got my theories behind it, but I can save that because we got a lot of time to talk about all this. And their situation they put themselves into to rectify this was not a good call whatsoever. In fact, it might end up being the very worst decision ever made. But that's where they left themselves in, because this is something you were right about. To tear it down to the studs in 2016 and 17 is the easy thing. But you put yourself in a spot where that quarterback couldn't just be good. He had to be the greatest thing ever, and he wasn't the greatest thing ever, and he wasn't ready to be the leader at that time. He was ready to be a star. He wasn't ready to be the leader at that time. And because they had done what they had done in 16 and 17, it made them very desperate to replace and have to go for somebody who was the only one available. That 13 other teams went for, by the way, 13 other teams.
And it would have been more. It would have been more had other teams had the assets.
It made them desperate to do it because of what you had already done. None of it's good. I can only just defend the truth. That's the only thing I try to do. But no one will want to hear it. The ones that are mad at him and the ones that are saying, I told you so.
He does that cool little podcast.
He does with you.
The not so
Hi,
cool.
Daryl.
Yeah. Hello, boys. How are you?
Hello.
We couldn't be finer. Thank you very much.
Daryl, you must be in the confines of your home. Where are you?
I just walked off the practice field, so give me a second to thaw out.
Okay.
He is at his home.
Yeah, your second home. Normally, yeah. I love when you're in the press room. You're like, "Hello, guys, what's going on?"
He has to.
It's a little chilly out there today. I'm not going
to
lie.
I bet. So, Daryl, you know we've all been at this long enough to know for a fact that you can't say some guy can't develop and become something that you might not always think that he could become. In other words, you know, go from like Jose Ramirez. You know, everybody kind of thought he was going to be a utility ball player, and instead he becomes an outstanding ball player. So you can't say that DTR can't become a starting quarterback in the NFL. How likely is it that you think DTR has the skills where he might be able to show some things in these final three games and put himself in the conversation to be the starter next year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be in the conversation to be the starter next year, to be perfectly honest with you. But it's kind of why I asked Ken Dorsey this morning just about his evolution and understanding and grasping how to execute this offense. Dorsey mentioned that, hey, you know, with DTR out there, he can go in the bag a plays a little deeper because of the dual threat possibility. But as he put it, they have to be smart about it and, you know, make sure that DTR protects himself. I think that it would be, even though Kevin Stefanski won't say that he's starting the final three games and this is like a week-to-week thing, like, there is nothing served by having this kid on a short leash. Like, just have him play the next 3 weeks. To your point, Jeff, get a somewhat extended look at him and see what he can do. Like, I know what I think he's going to do, but, you know, let's see it. Let's see if he can put himself in a position to where he's in the conversation to be the legit number two quarterback next year. Or, do you decide, okay, he's a, you know, fifth round pick and we can trade him for something or whatever. But these next 3 weeks are very, very important to DTR. And if you listened to him yesterday, you could hear that in his voice.
What is he going to do, Daryl? You said you think you know what he can do. What's he going
to
do?
Yeah, I mean, I want to be fair to him. So I just think that, I'll say this, Andy. I don't think that there's any mystery from the Browns as far as, like, what they expect to see. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's been here for 2 years. They've had him in meetings. They've had him, you know, they've seen him do prep work for games and things like that, right? They've seen him on the practice field, saw him in the preseason. Dorsey certainly, in a very positive way, pointed to how well DTR played in the preseason, how well the offense operated and moved with him on the field in the preseason. My argument to that would be, it's the preseason, right? So you kind of take some of that with a grain of salt. It's not the regular season, and that's a completely different animal. So, it'll be interesting to see if he is able to exceed expectations. But I don't think that the Browns have many questions about what his ceiling is as a quarterback, if that makes sense.
Daryl, Andy and I kicked around early on in the show about guys that you think must be back on this team next year. And we know at quarterback, Deshaun's contract situation makes it very difficult to imagine him not being here. But we thought
you really don't have to have any of these quarterbacks back next year. Do you think that's accurate?
I can imagine a scenario where Deshaun's not here next year.
Okay.
He's getting paid. He's on the 53-man roster, but he just doesn't practice and play. Like that. That's very easy for me to imagine.
Okay.
But as far as to your question, Jeff, about do any of these, no, they don't. Here's how I would approach the offseason if I'm the Browns. I would sit Kevin Stefanski down, and say, you tell us what quarterback you want, and we will go get him within reason. Like, we're not going to mortgage the future of the franchise to bring somebody in
again
to be a stopgap.
Yeah,
but
again,
right? But for instance, Kirk Cousins. If the Falcons make him available, mm-hmm. and they basically eat that contract, right? And they eat the cap space, and so you can take advantage of that situation. He's what, 37, 38 years old?
Yep, he'd be 37 next year.
A lot of picks. Yeah, so. Like, I don't know, maybe you take a flyer on that guy and throw something on the wall and see if it can stick for a year or two or whatever, right? But that's what I would do. I would empower Kevin Stefanski to be the driving force on picking who his quarterback is next year. Because let's be honest about it, he's never gotten his quarterback here.
Sure.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, think about that. I don't, with all due respect to Baker, I wouldn't say that Baker Mayfield is Kevin Stefanski's prototypical quarterback for his offensive system. I wouldn't say Deshaun Watson is the prototypical quarterback for Kevin Stefanski's system. So, like, all right, I think Joe Flacco, and it showed, like, I think Joe Flacco is the perfect prototype as far as, like, I'm talking from physical traits. Like, I realize he's at the end of his career, okay? But, like, I'm just talking, like, physical traits, how he plays the game, how he operates, how he thinks, all those type of things. Like, I think Joe Flacco is the closest thing that Kevin Stefanski has had to the type of quarterback that he would choose. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
So that's how I would handle this offseason. I'm like, Kevin, here's the list of the available quarterbacks here. You tell us what dude you want. You know, you go through the film. You see who you think fits you the best, and that's the guy we're going to give you. Because I just don't think that he's had that since he's been the head coach here.
I think that's a really interesting thought. Well, let me follow up the quarterback thing with the running back thought, because Andy and I did the same thing at running back, and we differed on our opinion there. I don't think you have to have any of these running backs next year. Andy thought Nick Chubb because he's Nick Chubb, and maybe Jerome.
Yeah, I think
maybe
you got to bring back. I think Chubb and Ford. Ford has shown me enough. Just look at that run he had on Sunday.
Right.
That's not a flash in the pan thing. We've seen that from Jerome. We've seen those flashes from him. So, I'd bring those two guys back, 100%. I don't know that I would say have to have, but I would definitely bring Ford and Chubb back.
Daryl, I know we talked a little bit about this on the podcast, just where are we on the dome right now? What's going on? You know, the governor was in town last week, and can you kind of get us up to speed on where we are with this stuff?
Yeah, the politicians are trying to get things, straightened out right now as far as what the things will look like from a state contribution standpoint. Remember, the Bengals have a $1.2 billion project down in Hamilton County there that they want to have included, because their thing is, hey, if the Browns are going to get state money, we should get state money too. It just still feels like things are a bit of a stalemate with the county. I have a suspicion of how I think this thing all ends, with the Browns ending up in Brook Park and getting their dome. And you can listen to the podcast for those thoughts. Everybody is, we call it a shameless shilling, Jeffrey. The politicians are kind of trying to get things squared away, behind the scenes and get everyone, on the same page. I don't want to say that the governor was trying to mediate between, Brown's ownership and but it is a frustration, for the folks in Columbus that people are not on the same page, with this project. And so it complicates their ability to help out. You know what I mean? So It's about getting everyone on the same page, whether it's with Brook Park or staying on the lakefront. Obviously, the Browns are full steam ahead right now with the Brook Park project. And then, of course, we've got this, you know, lawsuit that's in federal court, you know, seeking the clarification on the Modell law. And, the spirit of that law was to keep franchises in the respective markets, and the Browns are not leaving the market. I kind of feel like the city of Cleveland is trying to stretch that and stretch the vagueness of that law a little bit by threatening to enforce it and basically trying to get some money out of the Browns as a going away parting gift or whatever. When, at least from my view, I'm not a lawyer, but just my take on the situation is I think come 2029, the Browns have no obligation to the city of Cleveland whatsoever.
Forgive me if you think this is too obvious of a question. Do you think the Browns have any desire, need to see Bailey Zappe play quarterback?
I don't know. And the reason I say that, because I kind of felt like Kevin had an opportunity to just say, hey, because he did this with Jameis, right? When Jameis took over, he's like, yeah, you know, things can change, but the thought is for Jameis to start the rest of the year. Yeah. He's QB1 going forward, right? He didn't do that with DTR. And that's why I mentioned earlier, Jeff, about like the short leash. Like, I don't feel DTR should be on a short leash. But, I mean, hey, could I see Bailey Zappe starting week 18 in Baltimore? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know what you're going to glean from that, but...
If you're looking for a young guy maybe to be your backup next year, I don't know that DTR is head and shoulders above Bailey Zappe, and maybe you would play him a game and see what you get. I don't know.
Yeah, so that's I did kind of find that curious with Kevin, and I get it. You know, Kevin's usually very reserved when he's answering questions, and he doesn't like to do a lot of big picture stuff. But you did it with Jameis earlier this year, and I thought he had an opportunity to say, "Yeah, our intention is to have DTR start these final three games and see what this kid can do." And Kevin was unwilling to go down that road. So
yeah.
I would have to guess that, yeah, maybe the door is actually open for us to see Bailey Zappe. And guess what, Jeff? If he does get the start, he'd be number 40.
Oh, my. I wonder, would you go back to Jameis or play Bailey? I think, you might learn more if you play Bailey. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, too.
Daryl, at what point do you say to yourself, hey, maybe we've seen enough of Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward this year? I know everyone wants to get Myles to 100 sacks. He just needs a half a sack. So at what point do you think they turn and say, you know what, okay, we've seen enough?
I don't – maybe week 18, but you got a chance to wreck the Bengals season on Sunday. The Dolphins game is very winnable. Miami, they're the frozen fish when they come north. They do not play well in sub 40 degree temperatures. A quick look at the forecast, it's going to be below 40 degrees. So,
frozen.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of the hey, let's sit guys out type of a thing. Even when you're not playing for anything, they're competitors, but And I feel like you're kind of living in your fears a little bit there, if that's, what you think or how you're thinking. And,
I mean, it's
and
how
whatnot,
we do the preseason every year, right?
Yeah, yeah, I know, but it's a little different, though. Yeah, these are regular season games. They count. And hey,
you're paid to play.
Well, you're paid to play. And also, too, there's, Miles needs to I meant to do this, and it slipped my mind. There's something to do with if he gets the 14 sacks this season.
Mm-hmm.
He makes some pretty significant history if he can get to 14 sacks this season.
Okay.
So if he gets the 14 sacks, then okay, whatever. But that's a significant milestone. Like he becomes like one of like three or four guys since they started tracking that stat to like have 14 sacks in X amount of consecutive seasons. So that's the number.
That's why he wants to be out there,
yeah. He's three sacks away from that. So, but I'm all about just these guys are competitors. Let them play. But I get folks living in their fears and worrying about 2025.
Thank you, Daryl. Appreciate it,
Daryl.
You bet, guys.
Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, is brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl mentioned KC. And he wasn't talking Kansas City or the Sunshine Band. What do you think? It's Baskin and Phelps here on The Fan. Cousins and Kevin Stefanski, of course, were together in Minnesota. And he actually, Cousins had a really good year with Kevin Stefanski as his offensive coordinator for that one season. Vikings went 10-5, and Cousins threw 26 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, and he had both Achilles clearly intact. This year, his Achilles is repaired, and he's not played up to his normal expectations. He's been benched in Atlanta. We all know what that situation is. Would you want Kirk Cousins, Andy? Or someone like Kirk Cousins?
Is he an upgrade over Jameis Winston? Yes. Not by a ton. I'm looking at some of the numbers here.
He's thrown 9 interceptions in the last 5 games, and Jameis has thrown 9 in the last 4. So I guess that spreads it out one more game.
Yeah, I'm kind of just bouncing back on their career numbers too, and the significant difference is, you know, in his career, Kirk Cousins' win-loss ratio is way better than Jameis's.
He's been on better teams.
83-74-2 is his quarterback rating, and then Jameis Winston's 36-51-0. But their completion percentage isn't too far off. Jameis is like 61, almost 62% completion rate, where Cousins is a little bit under 70. It's a little bit under 66.
But the Jameis issue is interceptions, and Kirk Cousins is much better with his interception rate than Jameis.
So Kirk Cousins has
2.2 career interception rate.
126 on his career, and Jameis is 111, but he's played significantly less.
Right. So look to the column to the right. 2.2 is the interception rate for Cousins.
I think we're on a different website.
Jameis is like 3.8 or something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, more. Smart
people we know.
Is he better? Yeah, but not that much. I mean,
no, I think he was a lot better. I don't know if he is now. He's a different looking guy. He doesn't move real well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been one of the issues in Atlanta, and he's been benched for a rookie with a team in a playoff race. That's telling.
Yeah, that's true. Although, yeah, it hasn't been a successful season. But
Kirk Cousins throughout his career, the best way to kind of describe Kirk Cousins is if you wanted to teach someone to play quarterback, you would put on Kirk Cousins tape, and you would say, this is how you play quarterback. Kirk Cousins is really good if he's within a structure that he can easily, you know, that he can go out and go, okay, there's my first option, second option, third option, goodbye. If things crumble around Kirk Cousins crumbles. Like, that's kind of the best way to describe him. If the line is a little hairy, Kirk Cousins can't really cover it up that well. If he's got wide receiver injuries, Kirk Cousins isn't going to make those guys look a whole lot better. But if everything around him is in good shape, Kirk Cousins looks really good.
Guy who we have had on the show numerous times over the years, big-time senior reporter for Yahoo Sports covering the National Football League, friend of the Menigan, Charles Robinson.
Friend of the Menigan?
Wrote a story yesterday.
Poor soul.
Yeah. It says, quarterback room, headline, Kirk Cousins is the Cleveland Browns' best bridge out of the Deshaun Watson era.
See the fiscal layout of how this happens?
If by chance Atlanta pulls a Denver, as Denver did with Russell Wilson,
right,
and all of a sudden Kirk Cousins is available for next to nothing, Kirk Cousins would be the perfect guy. Because you could bring him in, you could tell Deshaun, thank you, stay home, we're going to pay you because we don't have a choice.
Right.
You wouldn't get killed on the cap because you cut him or anything like that.
True.
And then you could find a young quarterback and develop him. If it's DTR, if it's Bailey Zappe, if it's somebody you draft, if it's Trey Lance, if it's Kyle Trask, if it's Zach Wilson, and you could bring that person in. I think depending on how Atlanta discards Kirk Cousins, he could be a really good option here. If they think he can still play, and if Kevin Stefanski, I mean, Daryl's right.
Do you think they're trying to trade him to us, or they'd have to, right? Or cut him?
They could cut him, but it wouldn't be as punitive as it was for Denver, because he has a lot less money owed to him than Russell Wilson did in Denver.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, let's just say they trade, they cut him, and Kirk likes Kevin, and Kevin likes Kirk, and they think we need each other for a year or three tops. He'd be perfect if they thought he could still play. There's, and unfortunately, there's the catch to the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
If they think he can still play. Frank is in the beautiful city of Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Frank.
Hello, Frank.
What's up, fellas?
How are you, sir?
Hey, man, let's end this circus, man. Please, no Kirk Cousins, man. Just let the man pick him a 6'4" or better quarterback that's mobile, that he can control, man, because we already see, like they said, Brissett, Flacco, them is type of quarterbacks he needs, man. We don't, he can't, that's what he needs. Let him pick his quarterback, so if he can't get him together, then we end this circus, man. I really want Andrew Berry to lose his job because I done went through his picks, and, I mean, he ain't had a lot of first rounds than the ones he did, he gave him away. I'm just tired of the circus, fellas. Let this man pick him a quarterback, and we see where we go from there, man. Don't do the Kirk Cousins. It's Achilles.
But Frank, what if Kevin picked Kirk Cousins?
What, ask for him?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm firing him. I'm gonna come down there firing.
Frank, so let me ask you really quick, Frank, would you be good with Drew Aller?
He's not coming out.
I'm saying next year, if you want to hang on another year and just
wait. Yeah, because he's going to be right there when you pick.
No, can you stop, Jeff? I'm just asking a question. He's 6'5".
I don't know, man. He iffy, though. And Stefanski might can make him look good.
Yeah.
I've been arguing with dudes saying Stefanski can probably make Sam Darnold bum butt look good.
Frank.
Like Kevin O'Connell is in Minnesota, Frank.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, man, we need somebody that can get away from, because our offensive line is getting weak. We need somebody that can get away from the ball when he come from up under center, if need be. But he got to be big and competent, man. Let Stefanski pick his quarterback, man.
Let Frank
pick his quarterback. All right, y'all have a good one, man.
I'll buy that. Thanks, Frank.
Happy holidays to you, Frank. Let Stefanski pick his quarterback. Unless it's Kirk Cousins, and then I'm going to fire him.
A lot of leeway there.
There sure is. As long as it's not a guy I don't like, pick your quarterback. I just think it's a situation that's worth monitoring if you're the Browns. And I have no idea how their relationship was. I do know in that 1 year, it was 2019 when Kevin was the offensive coordinator, but Cousins was a 31-year-old quarterback. And they worked together previously, you know, as well. But Kevin was the coordinator in 2019 and Pro Bowl for Kirk Cousins. So that's a pretty good deal, actually. Jim is in Strongsville. Hi, Jim.
Jim,
got about a minute, buddy.
Happy
holidays. Hi, guys. Hey, like we've said in the past, and I just think we're getting out ahead of our skis here. We're making the assumption that Kevin's back. We're making the assumption that Andrew Berry's back. Look, I think the two biggest questions before we even start talking about next season is, what's Jimmy Haslam going to do with these two guys? I get that all the beat reporters and everybody says, as far as they think, that it sounds like he's bringing them all back. I just don't know how you sell to your fan base after 5 years with these two guys. I don't care. I would keep Stefanski. But I don't know, after 5 years, you can go to your fan base and say, you know what? We're going to stand pat and go into next year that way. I just don't see how you sell it. I think you have a fan base that's already very leery of this group. And I just think that if you stand pat, the enthusiasm going into next year will be dead before it even gets started.
I'm going to throw this at you. They came back this season, stand pat.
I agree. And that we thought we were going to take a step. Look, here's the bottom line. If you're not moving forward, it's the same thing in business. If you're not moving forward, you're dying. You're moving backwards. You've got to constantly be building towards something. If we go into next year with this same group, what are we building towards? What are we building towards? What do we have to look forward to? Where's the enthusiasm? Where's the look for growth? Where is any of that? And I trust the fancy the way that you guys are saying. I just, like I've said in the past, I'll say it again. There's no way I let Andrew Berry. Look, here, you said it in the 2020 update. We gave our kicker a week off because we signed him to a dumb contract and can't just cut him because of salary cap reasons. That, to me alone, is a fireable offense.
Hey, Jim, you have a degree in business?
Multiple.
I thought so. I could tell. All right, buddy. Thank you, man.
That and boozing.
That and what?
Well, boozing.
Oh, boozing.
Yeah, which, you know, tune into the postgame show. You'll find out. Jim, thanks, buddy.
Bye, Jim.
Bye, guys.
Yeah, Jim was dropping some business stuff there. Thought that. Bill Callahan is the reason that everything has gone south for the Browns this year, right, Andy? Isn't that what we've heard?
That's what people think. I think it's true. But
he's helping his kid talk to the media. Proof next on Baskin and Phelps.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. We are Afternoon Drive. We got Mac Robinson, a.k.a. Macaroni Baloney, on the board. Yes! We've got Sweet Young Thang, Jax Gregory behind the glassy knoll, Meredith Kane in the 2020s. But happy hump day! JP, how you doing?
What's up? Day three of being by myself, and I feel like it's starting to catch up to me.
Yeah, the song isn't helping.
You can't just eat and do whatever you want all day. It doesn't work that way.
I would disagree.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm calling.
My body's telling me enough. It's throwing in the towel right now.
Yeah, and my body's just saying, give me more, fat man. Yeah.
You're built for that. Is that it?
Well, basically, I've got a hedge bet here that science advances quick enough that it's going to cure a lot of my just outwardly awful things that I do to myself.
Okay, yeah,
namely just dietary.
Sure. Like,
so I'm really banking on medicine to save my ass here and get me to like 100. And then two, just seeing where it goes. Just going with the flow. And sometimes the flow leads you right to a whole sleeve of Oreos and then a second one after that. Feels
that's
good.
That's much more fun than dieting.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, by the way, diet. No, it's a lifestyle.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. All right. All right. Good. Yeah.
Now, people say I need a change in lifestyle. I'm like, I would disagree.
Well, I mean, we've made advancements, right? Ozempic is on the table. If you ever need it.
No.
You know, it's there. You could do it.
I'm looking for when they give you a pill and magically you shed 100 pounds and all of a sudden the cardiac problems go away.
Overnight, it's just 100 pounds is gone?
Well, no. I mean, it would be like a tapered thing that over 6 months it goes away.
Now, does it really matter if you end up living, if you lived to 90, does it really matter if you ever lost any weight anyway?
No.
Like, wouldn't the whole point of losing weight to be so that you can live as long as you can?
Yeah, I mean, if I live to be 90 with no real consequences, man, I am.
You're going to be telling everyone about it for the final 10 years. You're
I'm
just going to tell everyone.
People's families that are long gone and be like, yeah, remember how he used to run all the time? Yeah, well, who's here and who's not?
Yeah, he ate right, and then, he exercised, and he's gone.
By the way, it's Nick Wilson. Bye. And that's just it. And that's just like, that's how I live out my remaining years.
Okay.
It's just gloating to all the, oh, hey, he was in Ironman competitions or, you know, Tough Mudders or whatever those are.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still alive and he's not. Thank you. Bye-bye.
I did a Tough Mudder once.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Yeah.
And it was mudder.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that wasn't like, it was like a, like, yeah, kind of a.
Hey, no, it really was. It really was more laissez-faire than it was tough.
Yeah, see, a laissez-faire mudder, not worth it.
It was bad branding. They needed the better PR in calling it a tough mudder. Laissez-faire mudder. I'm sure it went through the initial cycle. It never hit. I think we're like 50 or 100 years away from being able to call out your shot with the age that you die. Would you sign up for that? Like, I can live to be 150?
Oh, you mean like I get to say, I'd love that.
Yeah, I think we just missed it. As a society, I think we missed it by like 50 or 100 years, the ability to be like, I want to go to 150. That's my number. That's what I want. Here, you can go to 150.
I think you're saying like a palm reader would come along and be like 67.
No, not like that. Yeah. No. I think they
read my lifeline.
I think the way we're advancing and the way we're doing this, I think we as a generation, I think we missed it by like 50 to 100 years.
See, that is the problem, though, is I did have, it was just like an idiot that read it. It wasn't like an actual palm reader. Or somebody's like, my Grammy knows how to do this. And I don't know if he did or not, but he said 67. And I was like, well, might as well just be a fat ass. Fat people live to be 67 all the time.
For sure.
So that I can make. The 90 thing, I'm going to need science. we're really going to need an assist from all those aging and genetic people and whatnot. But 67, I can live this
way. Well, other people are working hard on this. They're going
to
get this done for you.
That's good, because I don't want to.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. Is they're working hard, so you don't have to.
You know, I'm like the Browns. I want to win, but I want to win my way. So I'd rather lose my way than win your way. Does that make sense?
It made too much sense, is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just like Kevin and Andrew and San Diego.
Well,
Paul.
Like the Browns right now, it seems like you're just kind of hoping and praying something happens.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Much of a plan.
Wouldn't it be nice if a franchise quarterback just somehow fell into my lap like a meet cute in a Hallmark movie? Mm-hmm. They just fell off a truck right into the waiting arms of Andrew and Kevin.
How'd you get here? I don't know.
I don't know. I have a concussion. I have memory loss. I don't know who I am. Why don't you come on over here, Arch? We're just going to sign you to this contract before you can remember your name.
And they don't make the Hallmark movie where the person just swipes right all day until they find somebody to meet up with them.
Yeah, I really will say that's the critical flaw in Hallmark movies. People aren't horny enough.
What do you mean they're not horny enough? Like in the Hallmark movie, they're not horny enough?
Yeah, no. There's not the thirst there. Their people are too restrained. That's not how single people who have not... laying with another for 6 months at a time, which is always some, I haven't been with anybody since my fiance died. You'd be thirstier than that. Not just that. There's never like a thirsty grandma. Everyone's got like a thirsty grandma.
Where did a thirsty grandma come from?
People are thirsty. Let's just be honest about the whole situation. Hallmark movies, I've watched, Vanessa loves them. Not enough just like shady, people being shady because of thirst. That's a great take. That is a first. We've done first on the moon take.
Yeah.
I am first on that take. I could make Hallmark movies more real, every one of them, by making them 15% more horny.
Are you talking, you want like they're juggling multiple partners as they're trying to decide which one wins out for their love and affection? Is that what you want?
You just see the desperation.
Okay. You need more desperation in your Hallmark movies.
These single people in these movies are not desperate. Like,
well, they're all really good looking and they're all like ready to go.
Yeah, those are some of the most desperate people in the world. The good looking people who are used to getting everything like hand fed to them because they're gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah, come on. Those people.
I don't think people want to watch a movie about the person 30 pounds overweight that is just swiping all day long. I don't think that's inspiring at all.
Well, let's make him 30 pounds underweight then.
that's not good either.
Why?
30 pounds underweight?
Yeah.
Well, you seem like you got a problem with drugs.
They got like a big build like me. So like maybe they should be 250, but they're 220. Huh? So it's like, oh, that guy might be 10 pounds. I'm a problem solver.
We're workshopping it. We'll workshopping it.
Oh, no, can't do that. All I'm seeing is people sending things in because I took copious amounts of shots at the Morning Boys yesterday. Sending people like almost soliciting me to take shots at them today. I mean, we're not doing that today.
Oh, today's the day we're showing restraint. Is that what you're saying?
Or
you're showing restraint?
I like to be organic about it, right? Like, if I'm going to do I just wanted to.
No part of yesterday was organic.
It felt pretty organic to me.
It was in quick hits. It was a topic. Yeah. You had audio prepared. No part of that was organic. I even wrote out a joke,
like a lead into the first joke.
Yeah, it was almost as sculpted as the comedians that are up on the stage with their 5-minute monologues.
All right. More or less organic. Copious amount of shots at the Morning Boys yesterday throughout the entire show, not just at 2:40, or whatever Kevin Stefanski said about DTR today.
What in particular about DTR?
Oh, any of it.
I think he just shoots from the hip at this point. I think he's very well trained, and I think he just kind of, because he knows he's not saying anything. So I think he just goes out there and just talks and whatever comes out. Hey, who's holding his feet to the fire?
Not only does Kevin Stefanski not shoot from the hip, he has no gun.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no...
No, it's either shoot from the hip or you think he's over-preparing a nothing burger of a statement to say that DTR is the quarterback.
Yeah,
There's no way he's sitting down with like a pen and a pencil or even on a laptop and being like, all right, so this is what I'm going to say about DTR today. Does this check? Can we get this run through? Does everyone approve of this statement?
It's so
vanilla bland, there's no way he does that.
You know, he literally... I got to give credit to Lima because... He literally just stole a Lima talking point to use today to defend playing DTR.
Oh, yeah. Well, at times, I did wonder if it was Kevin Lima today.
Yeah. And again, kudos to Lima. You've inceptioned the coach. I don't know if it's one of the shindigs that they go to. I don't know if it's like one of the fundraisers. He's just doing his Lima thing. He's a slippery wizard. You never know with him.
Maybe he's doing some consulting on the side. We don't know.
Some sort of Svengali. But when Kevin today was like, we just want to see him with a full week of practice. Okay. All right, we're just ripping stuff from local sports talk shows.
Well, he can't tell you the honest take of it all, which is that we're trying to lose the last three games, and he gives us the best chance to do so. You can't just come out there and say that.
No, but there's something between absolute honesty and absolute dishonesty, or, and quite frankly, saying nothing. Like you could just be like, well, I think we know what we have in Jameis, and now it's, let's just give the kid a chance and see what happens. But the idea of, well, we wanted to really get him a full week of practice didn't stop you before, Kev. To be fair to DTR.
I mean, I can't defend it from Stefanski's perspective. I can't defend it.
Let's be honest.
It's not the most egregious thing I've ever heard.
Let's be honest. Andrew Berry came to you and was like, can we just play the kid? So we drafted him. And if he even throws for 250 yards and two touchdowns this weekend, it's going to make us look 3% better. Can you tell me that wasn't part of the conversation?
No, I think they're looking at it like you got the Bengals, and the Bengals defense absolutely stinks. If anything, I heard DTR, I don't know if you heard DTR at all, but if I was DTR, I would have been talking about how great this Bengals defense is, because I think a lot of people are where I'm at now, where even if DTR looks good, which I don't even know if it's possible, but even if he looks good, I'm going to be like, this is one of the worst defenses in the NFL. You're supposed to look decent against this team.
All right, so now this brings a question.
He's in a lose-lose situation. DTR might be in a lose-lose this weekend.
I've had this in my brain all day. Because I've heard the quarterback wars begin, officially.
Yeah.
We're starting to put names on it. Kirk Cousins gets benched. Justin Fields came up on the morning show. I mean, and now we're even like mixing in like a Cam Ward conversation or Shedeur Sanders. What are people more interested in right now? Who's going to start the final three games of this year?
No.
Or
2025.
Really? Even though it's like the least interesting quarterback situation you could possibly foist upon fans.
Are you ready for the amount of just absolute Donnybrooks people are going to have over the 2025 quarterback when you're not going to be happy with the results no matter who it ends up being?
And you're going to talk about Jameis versus Kirk like there's a difference.
Yes, that's the real problem in the whole scenario.
Somebody, I cannot remember, somebody subtweeted us yesterday because I mentioned Mac Jones as one of the potential candidates.
Yeah.
I didn't endorse Mac Jones. I simply said, Mac Jones is probably going to be one of the names we talk about. And it was a whole dramatic tweet about like, I set my radio on fire, which they didn't do, by the way. But
we don't know that.
But then he endorsed Justin Fields. And I'm like, whoa, Buckaroo. They both stink.
I'll tell you right now.
You're selling a fight. You're polishing a turd. No matter who you endorse.
This is the hard
Fields
part.
Versus Mac
this
Jones.
This is the hard part of this convo. Is that if you wanna plant your flag in any of these quarterbacks, good luck trying to defend them. They all stink in their certain ways and their own special ways. Like it's going to be a real hard. Like I confidently believe in Kirk Cousins, or I believe in Justin Fields, or I believe in Mac Jones. All these guys have problems, and that's where the Browns are right now. Well, and that's okay. That's fine. It's now on Stefanski to go ahead and show us that he can do something with them.
That's why the nuance of the conversation matters. That's why if you're going to speak on Kirk Cousins, you have to know why he failed in Atlanta. If you're going to speak on Justin Fields, you have to know why, despite, 3-1, 4-1, he couldn't overtake Russell Wilson. If you're going to speak on Mac Jones, what happened in New England? And I think we've started to do that kind of work when we have people on, like Albert knows about Mac Jones. He gave us a little vittle yesterday about Mac Jones versus Bailey Zappi and how much they hated each other.
Yeah.
Like, this is, there's, like, if right now today you're planting your flag for any quarterback next year of all the guys we've mentioned, even in the draft, man, I just got to be honest, you're going to take back that take very soon. You will flip-flop on that take very soon. I can sell you each one of these quarterbacks and why it could work. But I will not endorse any of these until we finally get to a point where it feels like, all right, it's time to plant the flag. That is not today. That's probably not even in January. That might not even be till the end of February.
I just don't know what epiphany anybody's going to have to be like, Kirk Cousins is all of a sudden my guy, or Justin Fields is all of a sudden my guy.
Define my guy.
The one that you're planting your flag with. Well, the one where you're like, I choose this guy. I think the reality is that whoever the Browns end up choosing in this whole entire discussion, you're going to get the notification to your phone. It's going to come. It'll just pop right up there. Brown sign quarterback X. And you're going to do a shoulder shrug. Any of these guys that you name, it's going to be met with the enthusiasm of nothing.
So I think it's more going to be we have our little camps. And maybe you're a Fields guy. Maybe I'm a Cousins guy. Jax really likes Aaron Rodgers. Mac likes Mac Jones.
Does Jax actually like Aaron Rodgers?
No, or? I'm just applying these hypothetically.
I know who his stepdad is, so I wasn't sure.
And so the reality is...
Settle down, Jonathan.
I think 60% of people are going to be disappointed unless it's their guy. But the most I think you're going to get, but the best Q score out of any of these guys is going to be about 40%. And that's if you're lucky. And it's all going to be on, and here's what they're going to sell you on. This idea that Kevin Stefanski is going to go back to his old offense, and he, in that offense, can change people. He can fix people.
Well, that's,
look what
that's,
he did.
If it's Cousins, if it's Fields, that's going to be the resulting theme. That's what it has to be. That's what it has to be. The promise that Stefanski is going to offer up is that he can make whatever quarterback you think right now is borderline untouchable because they have some stench on him. And whether it's any of the ones we've just named, Stefanski's got to be the reason that you have hope moving forward.
All right, so this is not me planting the flag. It's just me seeing how this is going to go. With the Falcons benching Kirk Cousins yesterday, all right? There's no way in hell they're going to be able to trade Kirk Cousins for anything. People keep talking about, oh, it's affordable, $27.5 million guaranteed next year. If I'm Kirk Cousins, I make them release me. He's got a full no-trade clause, and I'd rather do the Russell Wilson thing. So the selling point on Kirk Cousins should have come to that. This is my first on the moon moment. Second one, first one was Hallmark movies aren't horny enough. The second one is now.
Okay.
This is that their selling point's going to be, we're going to go back to the Stefanski, the Kubiak offense, and Kirk Cousins, who ran pretty much predominantly out of the shotgun, is going to be going back to an offense that fits him.
I've been telling you for how long? People like the smart coaches in the NFL, Stefanski, McVay once said he loved Kirk Cousins. If you could, his dream quarterback was Kirk Cousins.
And here's the thing. They're going to sell you as, we're going to do the same thing that the Steelers did with Russell Wilson. I think that's it. I think that's a whole pitch. Stefanski's old offense. Kirk Cousins didn't play in a offense that fit him. We're going to get him for $1.5 million this year, and then we'll see where we are a year from now.
Right, but they're going to have to do this with basically anybody that's in the conversation. It's going to have to be that. Now, Cousins is older, and so that's where the Russell Wilson parallels fall into place, and it's a nice one, but that's going to be it. It's going to all fall on Stefanski to go ahead and do his magic.
216-474-0092. We're starting the quarterback wars today. At some point, we're going to have to get into like a quarterback eliminator or as some sort of like blind ranking segment so we can stay honest about this sort of thing, but want to hear from you guys today. Are you resigned to the idea there isn't a quarterback option that's going to make you happy going into 2025? I think that's the kind of thing we say when you are 3-11 at the end of a lost season. I think once March comes along, we're going to all want to get good and drunk off that orange and brown punch. Be careful, it's spiked and not on the level. But we've got Rick Neuheisel coming up at 3 o'clock. We're talking the NFL playoffs. Chris Antonetti, Guardians President of Baseball Operations at 3:30. Ross Tucker at 4. Odyssey NFL Insider joins us every hump day at 4. We got Daryl Ryder at 6 o'clock as well. But as we continue, are you resigned to the idea that there isn't a quarterback option you're going to be happy with, and Kirk Cousins as your Russell Wilson next on 92.3 The Fan?
Which is very funny. It helps when you have a take like that when you're pretty funny.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
Good bedside manner from her.
If I take the emotion out of it, all right, if I just take the emotion out of it, I see what you're saying. I don't like it.
No.
I don't.
Okay, but we're playing with two different ideologies if you go down this road, right? Either you're going down the road of, if you are, and this is where I think she was going, which I don't think either one of us are 100% on board with. She's going down the road of, this is a complete and utter rebuild. And because it's a complete and utter rebuild, and you are years with an S away, that's why you have to trade any valuable piece that you have. And I don't think either one of us have gotten there.
So I still think that the tanking conversation has ruined what we're about to do here. I don't think this, I will never subscribe to tanking ever again. It didn't work. Losing begats losing, and this organization already lost at historic levels prior to tanking, but so much got swallowed up into losing. Good coaches, good players, things like Joe Hayden spending the final 5 years of his career in Pittsburgh, Jordan Poyer getting let go over $1 million.
To then be awesome in Buffalo.
To be, I mean, everything you would want on even on a losing team. Mitchell Schwartz, them rescinding his offer. Like, I'm not in the business of just tear the thing down to the studs again. That doesn't work, all right? That you'll never catch Pittsburgh and Baltimore. But could I see an elongated rebuild? Yes. Do I? But again, I cannot say that I think they should trade Miles. I cannot do it. But I understand it.
See, I think she was thinking like a 3 or 4 year deal. But Andrew Berry himself, he's like, this isn't baseball. This doesn't take a half decade. And I think that's the approach that they're going to take. But that's the other part of this, is that if you have Stefanski and Berry, there's no way they're sitting back for a whole 3-4 year thing. That doesn't exist with them because they'll be out of a job by the time they get to see the fruits of that labor.
Is it better? I actually understand. We're going to keep Barry and Stefanski more if you're going to do the painful rebuild.
Well, because then you just don't want to pay extra money to people and all that stuff.
No. It is if I'm not judging them next year off of wins and losses, and I'm certainly not doing it this year. If we say, 2026 or 2027 is when we're going to try and have our window of contention, I get that a lot more because continuity means guys like Elijah McGuire, guys like Cam Mitchell. You're going to be developing those guys, whereas if you bring a new GM and a new head coach in and you restart the clock on a rebuild, you're going to be gutting your roster because you turn over your roster in those kind of situations. Anyway, does that make sense?
It does make sense. I don't look at it like they're going to take this years with an S approach. I just don't look at it that way. I don't see it that way. I think it's the NFL. You got to always be in the hurry-up offense. Yeah, I think there are a million different ways you can at least attempt to turn a franchise around. Doesn't mean it's going to work. Listen, there's only one Chiefs for a reason.
What if your situation here, because I actually think the problem with the Haslams is... and it's at the heart of the Deshaun thing, is you try to shortcut. And shortcuts do not work in the NFL. Like, the idea of maintaining an ideology and continuing to refine it over time and honing in on what you're going to do, I think that's how you win.
Yeah, but there's a difference between a shortcut, Nick, and then taking 4 years to just go ahead and redo everything.
Yeah, I agree that it shouldn't take 4 years.
I think Lindsay was thinking that approach, three, 4 years, somewhere like that. And if it is a 3-4 year approach, then yeah, Myles Garrett probably shouldn't be on the roster.
So here is maybe how I view it. In this event, we've got to get rid of some of the older veterans who maybe not worth what they are, not going to be here when they're competitive again, right? Trying to take all that hit in one. So next year is about retooling the roster, meaning you're doing everything you can except at quarterback. Then 2026 is about getting the quarterback, specifically in the draft. And that year is about, all right, you've got the roster from 1 year, the quarterback this year, and then 2027 is hopefully when you're competitive.
Based off the quarterback conversations we have, that seems to be exactly the plan, does it not?
Yeah, but see, that's a 3-year plan if you don't include this year. This is just a lost year. This is a sunk cost. Fine. But then
I don't know that. I'm looking at that like that's a 2-year plan. I'm looking at that as once you get your whoever that quarterback is drafted or whatever. I know you're putting it on very early, but I'm then expecting you to have success early on is the point.
Yeah, and again, I don't know that you can worry about that is the goal, but it's very unlikely you're just going to win in 2026 with a rookie quarterback. I shouldn't say very unlikely.
I mean,
it can be hard to win with a rookie quarterback.
It's very hard. Yes, it is.
But again, I think you just have to do one or the other. If you try and shoot it down the middle of, well, we're going to try and be competitive and get back to the playoffs next year, all right? I see what you're doing, but you're going to elongate the cap problems you have. If you go, all right, we're going to trade a Miles. Maybe we trade a Denzel. Obviously, Joe Bitonio, whatever it is. Wyatt Teller, off to the great beyond. Not dead, just free agency or trade. Sorry. Those are two extremes. You can't try and split it down the middle, though. You can't try and get cued trying to have your cake and eat it, too. You don't have that kind of power, that kind of sway.
If you made me guess, I'm going to guess they're going to try to do the thing that you're completely railing against right now.
So, Lindsay Rhodes says the Browns should trade Myles Garrett. What would your reaction be? I'm genuinely curious what your reaction would be if they traded Myles Garrett for two first-round picks.
He would have had to have signed off on it. Like, as long as I got the blessing from Myles to be like, yeah, I don't want to be a Browns player anymore, I'm happy to go somewhere else, then I'm great with it for him. It's the type of thing, how can I be mad at him? He's done everything asked and then some. I can't be mad at Myles in that scenario.
We will get back to this later in the show because this is a spicy meatball and we're going to take a little time to digest it. But Pete Futek breaks down Ohio State-Tennessee next on 92.3 The Fan.